you're turning it off right now, right? You're about to go to sleep. Don't do that yet. I want you to think for just a moment. When's the last time you were trying to do something and you froze? Maybe it's because you didn't remember what you were doing. Maybe it's because you just got up in front of a whole bunch of people and they're all looking at you, wondering what's he going to say. Oh, no. Maybe it's because things didn't go the way you wanted them to. And it just stopped you. You froze. There was nothing else to do. You didn't know where you were, what you were supposed to be doing, anything like that. Now, I could have said, has it ever happened to you? But we're all here. We all know that happens. And for some of us, it happens all the time. And it's a hard thing to really stop and to regain your composure, to regain yourself, to find out what's supposed to be going on and to step forward. Today in Scripture, we visit a story in the Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel according to Mark, we visit a story of Jesus. And he confronts a man who had that same type of situation. What's funny to me is when you read the life of Jesus, and I mean no disrespect, I don't mean to be irreverent, but you read of Jesus, and if you're reading with fresh eyes as you read the Gospels, as you read the life of Christ, as you read Scriptures, you're reading with fresh eyes every time, you'll run across things that in Scripture that make you go, what? And especially with Jesus, did Jesus just say what I think he said? I was reading, I was pondering on Jesus coming out of Jericho just the other day, and he comes across Bartimaeus coming out of Jericho, heading for Jerusalem for the crucifixion just before Passover, and he walks up, the blind man comes before him and stands before him, and Jesus looks at the blind man and says, what do you want me to do? And you go, well, he's blind, Jesus, give him his sight. But he asked this question to find out what was going on there. And in our passage of Scripture this morning, Jesus makes a statement to a man that's quite strange. Would you join me in reading Scripture? Mark chapter number 5. We'll look at verse number 21. Mark 5:21. We'll read a number of verses here, and then we'll skip a little bit and we'll read some more. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 21 says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And it besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Would you skip from verse 25? May we begin reading again in verse number 35. And it says in verse 35, Jesus had been speaking, and while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. And I looked at these words and I said, you know, when I get the news of somebody, a death in someone's family, when I get the news of someone who is close to me or someone in my church or something, I offer all sorts of words of encouragement, of comfort, of kindness to them. But I have never in all of my life said to someone, don't be afraid. I grew up in South Georgia, in the deep South, and we would say, God bless you, the Lord bless you, may he comfort you. We might have a Bible verse to say to him, and the next thing we would say is we would ask if we could bring food to you, right? That's the exact, for some reason, that's what comfort food is about, right? Just fix a meal, and we fix meals all the time when somebody passes away. In the Middle East, in Arabic, what you would say for people who do not believe, for unbelievers, those that are unsaved, so often the term is said, Ali Yerhemmo, God, have mercy on him. They're unbelievers. They believe they're falling into the hands of a God of wrath. And here Jesus looks at a man who just got news that his daughter has died. And he says to him, be not afraid, only believe. And it stopped me as I was reading. It stopped me and I thought, what did this man have to be afraid of? He had reason to be sad. He had reason to be empty. He had reason to fret. All sorts of things. But why would he be sad? Jesus does not speak out of turn. He does not speak even though it seems strange to me. He's always right. And he looked into this man's life. He looked into this man's heart and he said, there's fear there. There's something going on. He said, don't be afraid, only believe. And I began asking myself, why? What did this man have to be afraid of? What would have brought fear into this man's life? He's in a great place. Would you notice he's in a great place? He's at with Jesus walking down the road. He's come to the right place. What would cause fear? What's going on in this man's life? Would you look with me at a couple of things out of this passage that might have brought fear in this man's life? Would you look at verse 21, back as we read there? He said, Jesus, that he was coming. He was coming. Jairus was coming to Jesus. And he came to Jesus and he did a wonderful job. He showed up where Jesus was teaching. He found out where he was. He approached him and he fell at his feet. He knelt down in front of Jesus and he asked him, would you read the verse with me in verse number 23? And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. He states a fact. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jairus walked up to Jesus, and he had a plan. He walked up to Jesus, and he said, hey, I know you. I know you have power. I know you can help. I know you're where I'm supposed to come, and I have a plan for you. Would you just look at my plan and sign off on it for me? Would you just take, I have it all planned out. You're here, you're close to my house. Follow me home. She's dying. She's at the point of death. You can lay your hands on her. She'll be healed. We'll go about our business. And he brought his plans to Jesus. And in a moment, with a little bit of news and a little bit of information, those plans fell apart. There was nothing left of those plans that worked. She's dead. May I note for you, Jairus, in all probability, have never heard of somebody coming back to life. For all he knew, Old Testament, maybe long ago, a story from Scripture, but for him, in his life, he had never heard of a friend or a family member or somebody distant of coming back to life. And for him, death was the end. It was all done. There was nothing more. And so his plans had completely changed. And I thought about that in my life and how often when I come to Christ, do I come with my plans? I take a piece of paper and I write my life out. God, would you do this? Would you do this? This is what it says I need to do. This is this. Would you just sign off on what I want? And circumstances change that. And how often when things change in my life, do fears well up inside of me? Do fears come up? You think, I was sitting with a man just yesterday, a pastor, and he said to me, I have to work another couple of years. He said, I've saved, I've done, I've worked, I'm working a second job out of the pastorate. I have to work and sell real estate a little longer, he said, because my retirement lost a quarter of it. My plans didn't go like they were supposed to. They're not going as they were, as they should, as I thought they should work. I don't have the things set aside. You know, my financial advisor said if I would just do this and this and this, at this point, it'll all be good. And things change. Circumstances change. You get a job and you think, man, I'm locked in here, and you begin working and you do everything you're supposed to do to get the advancements. You do everything you're supposed to do. You fulfill the roles. You take the classes. You talk to the boss. You're in every meeting. You're doing everything that you're supposed to do, and you work and you're climbing that ladder, and slowly. And then one day they come in and say, we don't need you anymore. You're out of a job. And things don't go the way that planned. We take care of our lives. We eat right. We take our vitamins. We exercise. We do all sorts of things. We deal with things the way we're supposed to. Listen to the doctor. Listen to the experts. We're doing all sorts of stuff in our health. We're healthy. And then all of a sudden our health changes. We've planned it out. We're going to do these things. Circumstances change. We have kids and we raise them according to Scripture, according to the Bible. We raise them up. We believe that they have a plan. We point them in the right direction and we fire them. We want them to go out and to live life, a godly life, and do these things. And we watch and our heart is broken as they make decisions that's not what I had planned for you, son. That's not what you should be doing. That's not what God's Word says. And circumstances change, and fear can come up in our lives because of a change of plans, because of a change when things don't go exactly the way we think, when our time frame doesn't work out, when our ideas don't work the way they should. What else is in this passage? Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. Jairus was a man who was esteemed by his community. He was a man, traditionally what we say is this ruler would have been somebody who took care of the synagogue. He arranged things. He did stuff. He was well-loved because he was put by the group that worshiped and prayed in the synagogue. He was put in that position of ruler of the synagogue, leader. He was a man that was well-loved. It would have been part of the religious group of people that way. It might not have been overly popular for him to come to Jesus. It might not have been overly right for him to come to that place. But we see something else that might have caused fear in his life. Would you look in verse number 37? After Jesus speaks to him, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Would you watch? Jairus had left his daughter. His daughter is at the point of death. His daughter is there sick and ill. His daughter, he's done everything he could think of. No doubt the people in this group that he was praying with had offered their suggestion. They had offered remedies. They had given suggestions on who to see and who to talk to and where to get those things. We see that he was well loved because when Jesus gets to his house, there's a lot of people there. They were not only concerned with this thing, they were concerned at the point of death, showing up to comfort the family at the time of loss. The house was full. They were weeping. They were tore up about this situation. It was a loved family. And you know what's interesting about this is Jairus walked in. He walked back into a group of people. He walked back into a group of people that had opinions about the situation. I know it's hard to believe that people have opinions, but he walked into a group of people that had opinions about his choices. You know how this goes. Jairus' daughter is sick. Where should Jairus be? Where should the dad be? Should be right there by his daughter, taking care of her, helping her mom, dealing with these things. Where did he go? Oh, he went off to see Jesus. He went off to see Jesus. Yeah, I don't know what good that did him. Where did he go? Yeah, he's chasing that fanatic that's doing different things over there. You remember, he's part of the religious group of people. No doubt the Pharisees had some influence on this man's life. And what he was doing to see Jesus, to follow Jesus, to go after him, to get help, would have not been the popular thing to do. It would not have been the popular thing to go find this help. It would seem that he was by himself with Jesus. It would have seemed he had gone over there by himself to find out if he could get help from Jesus. And you say, JP, you're seeing a lot of stuff in there. Would you watch what happens when Jesus shows up at home, at his house? Verse 39 says, "And when he came in, he said unto them, Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn." I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. If any of us had the opportunity today to take Jesus, I know we have the Holy Spirit with us, we have God with us now, but Jesus in the flesh with us to work, how awesome would that be? Like, how you're like, hey, guys, I'm going to do everybody's work today. You guys hang out with Jesus. Like, that would be so cool. Just to have Jesus show up with us in the flesh. And we'd be like, you just hang out, learn something. He'll speak to everything you need. Just go. Or to our house or to our next family gathering. Could you imagine having them to the family? I'll take care of all these rowdy nieces and nephews, and you guys just talk to Jesus. And yet when Jesus shows up to this house, they laugh at him. These people have an opinion about what's going on. They have an opinion about what they've seen and what they've heard and what they know. And they look at Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Creator God, and they look at him. And when he speaks, they laugh. And people can make you fearful. People's opinion can make you fearful. You're like, no, I don't really care. You know, it's funny we say that. We say that the people who are watching from the outside can cause fear. My wife, we currently live in central Missouri. And a number of years ago, my wife, we were visiting, and she went to get her hair cut. And she went to the little barber shop in the little hometown where she grew up in, and she went and sat in the chair and got her hair cut. And when she came home, I found out things about my life I didn't know. She told me all sorts of stuff. Oh, come on. You guys know that that's what happens in the barber's chair, the beautician's chair. They say all sorts of things that talk about everything. You know what the break room's like? You know what it is to hear the scuttlebutt at the break room, to hear what everybody's talking about, to know what's there? And everybody's always talking. They have an opinion. They look at something and they see and they say, eh, that's not going to work. That's not true. That's not there. And we have this amazing idea that at some point when Jesus shows up, when Jesus is there, laughing just doesn't happen. It's just not there. And what we find here is that the spectators of someone following Jesus will always have a reason to laugh. Quite frankly, that can cause fear. It'll always be in the back of our mind. What are they going to say about me? What are they going to say about me when I step out for Christ? What are they going to say about me when I say I'm praying for this? What are they going to say about me? And we worry about what people think of us instead of what God has given us to do. May I say, this is not the most discouraging person in this story. The people at home that laughed are not the most discouraging person in this story. Would you look at verse number 35 with me? He says, while he yet spake, this is Jesus again speaking. He said, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? I want you to notice that this person, this certain person who would have come from home, this person who would have carried the news of the death of this man's daughter, would have been a person that was selected properly. to convey the news and to comfort this man as he walked home. He would have been close. He would have been somebody. It wouldn't have been just, hey, run, go tell Jairus, you know, whatever. No, it would have been somebody, you're his friend. You're his friend. Would you go tell him that his daughter's just died? And what happens is amazing here. This man who was close, who was there to comfort, walks up to Jairus and says, your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? He says to him, give it up. Give up. Whatever this thing that you've started doing, whatever this thing following Jesus is, whatever this thing you've given your life to that you think will help, stop. And it's not the spectators that are the most discouraging thing in our life. It's the people that are closest to us that discourage us from continuing with Christ. The people that are closest to us that know us best, the people who should be there and encouraging us on, that are there, that should be walking beside us, and they say, they give us information, and they say, give up on Jesus. Throw in the towel. It's over with. It's gone. Let's move on. Why trouble the master any further? Not only a change of plans, not only people. Would you notice in this passage that we didn't read? A lady. Verse number 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things by many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better but grew worse. When she had heard Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch the clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of the plague. And immediately Jesus, knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around and about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake. One of the hardest things in our life that will cause fear is the pause. Would you watch Jairus? Jairus has done what he believes he should. He's walked up to Jesus. He's come to the good place. He's come to Christ who has the power to change his situation. He's walked up to it in a way. He's knelt down. He's the ruler of a synagogue. He's humbled himself before Jesus. He's made his request known. And miraculously, Jesus turns and goes with him and heads home to possibly heal his daughter. And they're heading home. And it's amazing. If we can just move and get there, I'll have my daughter. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops and says, who touched me? Could you imagine, Jairus? Come on, Jesus, let's go. Time's running out. It's here. It's time. Would you go? Would you come with me? No, no. Somebody touched me. And we take times to have this. The disciples are wondering, what are you doing? What's going on? How do you ask these questions? Everybody's touching you. Come to find out, this lady is sitting there hidden behind, and Jesus takes time and he looks at her and he takes a moment and deals with her personally in her faith. And it's an amazing story. But remember, the whole time that he's dealing with this lady and healing her issue of blood, healing everything that she's lived her life for 12 years, and everything that she's given all of her living for, there looking and searching and trying to give everything just so I could be free from this. Jesus takes the time so amazingly to sit with her and say, your faith has made you whole. That whole time, Jairus is standing over here watching. Watching this pause unfold before him. Just a thought. This is what happens in my heart. When I feel like I've done everything right, when I've been with Jesus and I've come and I've prayed and I've humbled myself and I've asked, and then I watch someone who has just snuck in kind of at the last moment and didn't even have the courtesy or the honor to walk up and to kneel before Jesus and to pray and ask for anything. No, they just kind of barged in and snuck in the back and just kind of touched. And now it's taking time from me, from what God is doing in my life, from what Jesus was about to do for my daughter, to take these things, to fulfill my life, to fulfill these plans. That can cause fear. When you watch somebody else being made whole. Just think, as she's being made whole, he gets the news. Everything you've done is now hopeless. Imagine how crushing that would be. And I say to you this morning, we deal with a change of plans. We deal with people all the time. We deal with the pause in our life constantly. And every single day, day after day, you must live in the same place Jairus did in this street. As the weight of the world, as the weight of circumstances, as the weight of things changing in your life happen, as they press down on you, as they stop you, as they freeze you where you are, you have to live day after day with the fear that will well up, becoming faith. You have to ask yourself, Jairus walked up to Jesus. He looked at Jesus, quite frankly, in faith. Jesus moved because of the faith of Jairus. And at that point in the road, when he got the news that his daughter is dead, when he stopped at that point, Jesus looked at him and said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And you'll live today as you get news of changes, as you get news of circumstances being different, you will live with your faith becoming fear, or your fear becoming faith. That's where you live. Nothing will stop things from not going the way you planned it. Nothing's going to stop the opinions of people that you live with. Life is going to run at its own timetable, the timetable that God has for you. There will always be a pause in your life. But you have to determine, you have to live at a place where you let faith melt away and fear take over and control you and grip your life. Or when fear comes in, faith leads. I want you to watch here. Watch what happens in this man's life. Verse number 40, it says, "And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and he entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by his hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it. And he gave command that something should be given to her to eat." I want you to watch what happened in Jairus' life. He was at a point in the road when Jesus spoke to him, when Jesus said something to him about fear. He was at a point of stopping. He was frozen there. By every indication, he would have gotten up and turned around and walked home. And he would have missed God's work in his life. Think about this. Jairus had a really good plan. Jairus had a really good plan. It would have been amazing to see Jesus walk to Jairus' house, to lay his hands on Jairus' daughter, and to raise her from being sick. That would have been amazing. But Jesus' plan was greater. What Jairus got to see was somebody raised from the dead, personally, right before him, face to face. And God's plans are always greater than anything we could ever think of. Whatever we have planned, whatever timetable we think, whatever the crowd around us thinks we should do, whether it's ours or theirs, His plans are always greater. And we live again, today, when you get up out of this service, as you're sitting here today, there is no doubt people in this room, there are burdens on your heart that are weighing you down, that are stopping you from moving forward with Christ. And may I say to you, you must live today not governed by fear, not led by fear, not overcome by fear, but you must live by faith. You must follow Jesus. You must listen to the words of our Savior and look to Him. May I say to you, because it is the greatest thing you can ever do. The opinion of the people will leave you empty and hopeless. The opinion of your friends and family, if they're not aligned with Scripture, if they're not aligned with Christ, will leave you empty, hopeless, with nothing. Pardon me. Nothing but a place to visit with memories. And with Christ in that road, as we deal with this today, as we deal with our circumstances, if we let that fear that is present in our hearts not control us, but point us to the only one who can make a difference, and that's Jesus Christ. Will you live by fear, or will you live by faith? One last thought. This little girl was 12 years old. Think about something. Her 13th birthday rolled around. God, look what you've done in my life. She was gone. She was dead. There was nothing there. 14. Woo! Yes, Lord, thank you. Look what you've done. Look at the miraculous thing that you've done in my life. We don't know how long she lived. I will tell you this. This man lived day after day. Day after day in the goodness and the grace of God. The miraculous power of God. Because day after day, he didn't let fear stop him. In a road where circumstances had changed and people had made a judgment, and where the timing didn't work out the way he wanted them to, he trusted the Savior, and he lived with the miracles of God, with life, with those blessings, rejoicing. Father, would you be with us this morning? Father, I pray that you would help us. Would you guide us? Father, we have a tendency to to watch, to make our plans, to watch other people, to have a time frame when we want you to do your work. And when it doesn't happen, we fear. Father, I pray this morning that we would be a people of faith, that as disciples, as followers of you, that our faith, our following and staying with you would define us, that we wouldn't live under the circumstances, but we would be people of grace. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Anybody's heart still racing? You know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. There's no more perfect love than the love of Christ. Let's all stand together and sing Rock of Ages 392. 392, Rock of Ages. Let's all stand as we sing, please. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for rest. Foul do I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, oh, I die. I want to encourage you to come back this evening as we hear Brother Day share his ministry with us. Looking forward to that. Let's sing this last stanza. We'll be dismissed. As we do so, I invite you two to go back and be at the back so you can greet people. Be sure and shake hands with them and get to know them better, please. They're wonderful folks. Stanza four.
While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you so much for this day. God, what a wonderful day it is to be in your house. God, I pray you would just challenge each one of us, dear Lord, to walk by faith, to, Lord, be comfortable with the tempo that you place upon our lives, dear God, to let you set the cadence. And never view waiting, dear God, as wasted time, but as your time to do what you want to do, to set things in order for your will. I thank you and praise you now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much. We're dismissed.